Welcome to the Pure American Podcast, the show where we cover what's happening in America and what maybe we think you should be paying attention to. I'm your host, Fatty, and my other wonderful host is Red Boy, unfortunately.
I'm eye candy for blind people.
Make sure if you're listening, or I should say actually watching us on YouTube, that you hit the subscribe, and don't forget to click that notification bell, because I already know we're never going to get monetized or picked up by YouTube's partner program, because they're going to hate us. We don't exactly adhere to political correctness. We hate that. Follow us on Twitter at Pure American Pod to not miss an update on an episode being uploaded or who we're going to have guest appearing on our show, because we are in the works right now. Getting some guests. Yes, soon. We wanted to get through the first couple episodes, establish ourselves a little bit and get in a rhythm. So that's where we're at now. But we will bring some guests onto the show. Nice voice crack, Fatty. All right. So the topic for today's episode is kind of a semi-shorter episode, but we have a big thing that we want to cover at the end. So here we go. We're going to talk about how, for some reason, Tom Brady is racist for winning the Super Bowl. If you haven't seen that on Instagram or, you know, Twitter or wherever you check get your news out. From. Yeah, check it out. It's stupid. As you know, or some of y'all might not know, Rush Limbaugh has died. He was like, kind of want to say like the OG conservative talk show host. He's been around for a long time. He lost his battle to cancer. That's not really what we're talking about here. We're going to talk about social media's reaction to it and how actually, like, truly disgusting it is. And then we have the idea of canceling college debt, which, surprisingly, actually, I side with Biden on his decision with this. I don't know. Tristan, I assume you would. He doesn't want to cancel college debt, which I think is a smart move. And then finally, the one that's going to take up the majority of this time for today's episode, math is racist. So, as a lot of y'all know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. This is old news, but what you might not have seen is the internet actually saying that Tom Brady is racist for winning the Super Bowl on Black History Month.
I think anyone with common sense, I mean, I thought the same thing. I know Zach did too. We thought it was something that 4chan started just on Twitter, but then there was people actually supporting it too. A lot of us can tell when something's satire or something's like a joke, you know. There was people actually saying, yeah, Black History Month, how could he? Dude, it's a game.
We have some tweets here, right? This one comes from @_Zeets. Says, if Tom Brady beats Patrick Mahomes during Black History Month, then we have a double, or then we have to double whatever we're demanding for reparations. So, like, it's starting as a joke, right? Like, that's a funny tweet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then we get into ones where it's like, says, don't y'all think it's a little racist that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl during Black History Month? What?
It's just idiotic, because it's just like, okay, there are African Americans on both teams. The next thing you'd say is just, well, Tom Brady didn't win the Super Bowl, so that also means he's racist. He has black team members, so.
This is literally what we're getting into. Like, then we got tweets like, it says, Patrick Mahomes half black, right? And Tom Brady doing this to him on Black History Month? This has got to be racist some way. It has to be, man. And you can say these are jests, right? Some of these tweets could probably be sarcastic. But then there's ones like this where it's like, Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl on Black History Month doesn't sit right with me. Okay. Just because you feel like it's racist, does that mean it's racist? Spoiler alert. No, not at all. This is the problem today, honestly, with a lot of our racial relations within the United States, I feel like, is people like, oh, it feels racist. Okay, then now I guess it is racist because your feelings are valid. No, like, I'm sorry, nobody cares. Just because it feels a certain way to you doesn't mean that's what it is, you know? And I think a lot of this also comes back to, I think it was last season, he was doing an interview, post-game interview, I believe, and he had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker. I don't know if you remember that at all.
Oh, sorry. My asshole dogs were barking. What'd you say?
last season, I think Tom Brady was doing a post-game interview in the locker room, and he had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker or something
background,
like that.
Yeah, in the background of the video, I remember.
And a bunch of people just got, like, really upset about it. But my whole thing to this is, like, even when you read stuff like this, as people are like, Tom Brady winning during Black History Month is so racist. What is he supposed to do as a competitor? Like, I was an athlete. I played high school football. I got a chance to play college football for a year. I struggled with injuries, so I can't play anymore, long story short. But as a competitor, right, I'm not going to bend the knee for a social cause when I'm trying to win. You know what I mean? Like, he's there to win, and he's, whether you like it or not, the greatest quarterback of all time. Greatest football player of all time, I'd argue. Like, this, he's going to do whatever it takes to win, and he's going to help his teammates, which in a sport that is majority black, win the game, you know? And they did that. And I think people calling him racist is just mind-numbingly stupid.
It's just that it's the NFL. It's a sport. The National Felony Football League.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Well.
Well, there's that. No, but it's the NFL. NFL, during season, you're playing to win. Every team's goal, no matter what race you are, what color is your skin, your goal is to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl and make that big-ass check. People causing a problem over the diversity between the two quarterbacks is just idiotic. It's like, are you really that ignorant to the point where you have to cause a whole entire uproar on social media just because you're idiotic? Like, it makes no sense.
Also, where is the where's like the outcry for this? I don't know how long ago. Like, okay, so the Super Bowl started having its date in February in 2004, right? Where was this outcry of racism and white men winning on Black History Month, you know, when this started? Jeez, man, it's already, what, 17 years ago?
What about?
No, 7 years ago. Wait, 17 years ago. Yes, I'm correct. Sorry.
What about math? What about Favre? What about Hasselbeck?
Like, yeah, like, it doesn't make sense. What about Tom Brady beating Russell Westbrook? Wow, Russell Westbrook. Wow. Russell Wilson. Shut up. Not the basketball player. It's a whole other story. But, yeah, what about Tom Brady beating Russell Wilson, right? That's got to be something, right? I mean, come on. Like, this is a stupid narrative. This shouldn't be this long that we're talking about it. But it's dumb. It doesn't make sense. This is where we're at in America, and this is why we have a lot of racial problems in America, I feel like, is because people do stuff like this and say it's racist, even though it's clearly not.
Well, how long ago was it? I think it was the Seahawks game when Russell threw the interception to Gronk
In the end zone? No, that was Malcolm Butler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, when they should have ran the ball when you had arguably the best running back in football, like, at that time.
One of the most open lanes that you'd probably ever see in that whole entire game.
Yeah.
It's just like, where was the outcry then? You know, if Gronk wasn't white, he wouldn't have caught the ball. That's some stupid shit they would have said. They would have come up with some stupid narrative to push.
What? I don't think you know what you're talking about. He threw it. I don't know who he threw it to. He threw it on a slant route. It wasn't Gronk. It was the cornerback, Malcolm Butler. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought Gronk was the one that intercepted it.
No.
Oh, then I'm
no, playing. Not that one. Yeah, you have no idea what you're talking about, Tristan. Gosh, hey, man.
I'm here for you. Dude, I swear to God, I thought it was Gronk that was the one that fucking intercepted it.
No. I know he did during a regular season game one time, but no. So moving on to the topics of social media being disgusting and stupid, what's new? For some reason, I like to go on Twitter because they have a lot to say. So it's not, a lot of times, it's not the right thing to say, but they have a lot to say. So it brings
Remember
us content.
To follow us on Twitter?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter.
Pure American Pod. Yeah. No cast, just pod.
Yeah, we ran out of character limits. So Rush Limbaugh died. Like I said in the beginning, he lost his battle with cancer. Sad, you know, my condolences out to his family. But social media's, like, reaction to it is disgusting.
Rest in piss.
Exactly. It was rest in piss was trending on Twitter. Rotten
One of the
hell.
Top trending hashtags on Twitter under the politics section.
Rotten rest hell was trending. Like, okay, here's the thing, man. You don't have to agree with what people do, right? Like, when RBG died, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I personally did not like anything she did, or majority of anything she did. You know what I mean? but I'm not going to sit there and say, yes, she's finally dead. Like, you know what I mean? I'm still going to have respect. I was like, okay, someone who is significant, you know what I mean, in our cult, in our society, right, in America, has passed away. I can still give out condolences and be a nice, respectable person, but clearly we just don't have respect anymore as a society because, I don't know, we're just going to crap on a dude for having a different opinion, and now that he's dead, you're going to say, I'm so glad he's dead. Like, come on, man. Like, this isn't a Hitler. This isn't a Stalin. This isn't one of those guys where, like, yeah, no, it's a good thing he's dead. No, this is literally a guy who just all did was voice his opinion, and they weren't even dangerous opinions, honestly. Like, I don't know. It's
just, like you said, it's just, I'm not going to just say Democrats. I'm not just going to say the left. I mean, the right does it too. Personally, for me, from what I see, it's more prominently done on the left. But, like, if you have a difference of opinion, all these woke liberals, they'll wish death upon you. If someone dies that was within your party, they're just like, oh, good. Great. Yeah. Like,
fantastic.
Fantastic. It's just like, well, at least he's not here to, you know, go against us anymore. It's like,
right. Well, you're right. I mean, there was a bunch of people on the right that I know and I'm fully aware of. They're like, when RBG dies, it's like, yeah, you know, right now. I'm like, dude, like that's not good. That's not something you do. I mean, on both sides, there's a lot of toxic people on both sides. Really, it's the younger generation too. You know what I mean?
That's like, why I said all these woke people. Meaning all these younger people who come in and they're raised by their parents who might be hardcore Republican, hardcore Democrat. And that's all they've known their whole life. And then they're just like, okay, well, you know, my other liberal friends, my other conservative friends say this dude's bad. He died. He/she died/it/everything.
Attack helicopter.
Attack helicopter. 127 cubic foot mini fridge. But that's besides the point. So, like, someone dies, and all these people, since they're woke, are just like, you know what? We have social media. Let's make fun of him. Nothing bad's going to happen.
Right. It's stupid. It shows a lack of respect, which is the problem these days. Because, like, I think one of the things that's also been trending on, like, TikTok, like I said, me and Tristan are on TikTok. It's what we do. There's been, I don't know if you've seen it, it's like the trend where they're dancing, where it's like they'll show somebody and then they'll show somebody else, where it's like, oh man, it's like maybe like a
your homie dead one?
No, that's a whole different thing. Where it's like shows, okay, you're a, I don't know, half Asian guy, and then they'll show me, it's like a fat white guy, and then they'll do like the dance where they're above the camera swinging their arms.
They're just like podcasts.
Yeah, there's one where it's like left leaning girl, right leaning boy, a solid relationship, like they're dating. And I'm like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Personally, would I do that? No. You know what I mean? My girlfriend right now is not. She's right-leaning like I am, but
I would have to stay away from politics, that whole, like, relationship. Yeah,
but the whole thing, the whole thing is, like, the comment section is disgusting with these people. They're dragging these people through the mud. And it's usually, most of the time, because, you know, majority of the time it is this way on social media, the left-leaning people are like, oh, I can't believe you're dating someone who wants to take away human rights. I wouldn't be dating a modern-day Nazi. Anyway, the comment section is absolutely horrible. Like, tearing them apart. It's like, I'd never date a new-age Nazi or a neo-Nazi or what? Cool, don't do that. I don't like
neo-supremacists.
I don't like neo-Nazis and white supremacists anyway. But that's not what these people are. You know what I mean? Like, it's stupid to me because politics are important in our society, like 100%, right? I feel like people should know a decent bit about politics and what's going on so they're aware of certain situations, and then they can take that information and vote for who they want to vote for. But at the same time, it can't be something that, like, you know, is your whole life, right? It can't be literally every single thing you do. It's not for me and Tristan. I know it's a little ironic. We're up here on a podcast telling you it shouldn't be everything you do. It's literally a lot of what we do, but that's
this different. Podcast came out of boredom.
So yeah. Yeah. So there are people like us who are commentators, obviously, is what their world revolves around. But for the average citizen, it shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Just because someone votes differently than you doesn't mean you should just never want to talk to them or be friends with them. You know what I mean? A couple of my good friends are left-leaning, and it's nice kind of sometimes to have that refreshing other side that doesn't agree with every single thing I say and is constantly, you know, yeah, you're right, or you're right, and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yes men, essentially.
Well, related back to what you just said about when people are just like, I wouldn't say doxing, but ridiculing these people who are doing the, oh, well, Republican dating a Democrat. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
It kind of, for me personally, it relates back to how I see, like, third-party voting. Because personally, for me, I'd love to see a third-party candidate win in the future. Because
right.
I want to see how it goes. Because you have this stupid brainwash that it's only a two-party system, which in fact, yes, I'm not gonna lie, it is a two-party system right now because no one believes in third-party voting. It's
yeah,
the way how I'm trying to relate it is people are so brainwashed to think that there are two narratives to fit, and when someone combines them or goes against them, they're just like ridicule,
right?
They're like outcasts. You gotta outcast them because they don't fit a Republican narrative, they don't fit a Democratic narrative. They're just like, okay, well, these guys are different. Let's boot them. Let's make fun of them. Just let them live their lives. It's not that fucking hard.
It is stupid, bro. Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know? And it is sad. It's a sad world we live in because, again, there are no moderates anymore. It is hard to find moderates. It's either hardcore left wing or hardcore right wing. And
especially within the last 4 years,
it's gotten way worse. And they don't want to give up their morals, and it doesn't matter if you could be doing something absolutely heinous, your side could be, it's still, you don't want to admit, you know, to other people or admit to yourself that maybe what I'm thinking is the wrong way of thinking. And that goes to both sides, because I know a lot of people that are like, you know what I mean, going in and they, in the comment section, that are right-leaning, and they say something stupid. They'll say, like, Trump 2020 or something like that still. I'm like, dude, that's just as annoying as that left-leaning person that you have that you're complaining about commenting the same thing over and over again in the other comment section. You know what I mean?
I feel like the main like type of people that you and I are talking about right now is not just Democrats or Republicans. Well, yeah, Democrats and Republicans, but like authoritarian Democrat Republicans, like far left, super far right. Those are the only people that are causing problems.
Oh, yeah. And it is sad to see, and it's really starting to, these smaller groups are tearing us apart. But I think, honestly, if we give what this administration that's in there for 4 years, I think we might see a little bit of a mend. Even though I don't think it'll come from them pushing unity, I think it'll come from just the American people. Yeah, because them pushing unity is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's not going to happen.
So, moving on, speaking of younger generations that know nothing of what they're talking about, the hashtag cancel student debt was trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know, Elizabeth Warren also put out a tweet, said President Biden has the authority to cancel $50,000 of student loan debt. And she said, you know, her and Chuck Schumer are urging him to act, whatever. She put out a statement. Biden essentially said, no, I'm not canceling that. Yeah, I think he said something along the lines of, and I don't have a quote, I think it was at a town hall or something. He was like, maybe $10,000. He said, and it's because someone asked him a question. He goes, but 50,000, no, you know, I'm not doing that. I won't do it.
Which 50,000 is enough to cancel a large majority of people's student debt, too. So that's where everyone's thinking, oh, he's going to cancel all of it.
I think if you're going to go to college, because first of all, let me explain something, too. If you're going to go to college, you're going to know what you're getting yourself into. If you're not going on an athletic or an academic scholarship or, you know, all the minority scholarships that are out there or go to community college for free, you should know what you're getting yourself into. You can't play dumb with this, you know. College is an expensive investment. It truly is. And in my opinion, in today's day and age, and like right now, I don't think it's necessary to be successful if that's really what you want. Because if you think about it, for 4 years, right, and this is going to sound a bit ironic because I am in college, you know what I mean, but there are some fields, like the field that I want to go into, I have to have a college degree for.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the problem with high school and, you know, what we're teaching in the education system today is you go to high school for 4 years and you have to go to college or you should go to college. It's not the case. You know what I mean? At least not anymore.
Well, when people, that's the, like what high school does. High school pushes this like narrative on you guys or idea that to be successful, you have to go to college. To be successful, that requires a degree.
Right.
Like I'm getting out of the military soon, right? And I'm going into a trade. Most likely, I cannot speak today either. Most likely electrician or plumber. Those of which whose schools cost a lot less, even though I won't pay for it, but they cost a lot less for people who weren't getting out of the military. And you get out with zero to little student debt, and you're making a lot more money than someone who just came out of college. Because right. you go into an apprenticeship right afterwards. You know what? That apprenticeship, 96% of the time, is paid.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. I think people complaining about their student debt, again, you know what you're getting yourself into. College isn't cheap if you think about it. And it shouldn't be cheap. You know? It really shouldn't be, because if we look at, like, I don't know, what do you got to go through when you go to college, right? If most people will go and live on campus of college, correct? You know, that's expensive. Living expenses are a thing, and they are expensive, especially when you buy a meal plan when you go on campus. That's a lot of money. You got to pay for books, then you got to pay all the staff and everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of money involved. So you're going to come out with debt if you don't have a scholarship. You know what I mean? But that's something you should be aware of. By the way, also, if you're paying, like, if you get out of college and you start paying immediately or putting money away for your college debt and maybe not going out and, you know, when you first graduate from college, you're not going to be able to go out and buy a house immediately. Some people might, but anyway, the majority of people.
Money.
Yeah. The majority of people aren't going to be able to go out and buy a house immediately, or, you know, maybe they're not going to have the financial stability to start a giant family off the rip with their significant other, you know, they meet in college or whatever, or go out and buy a fancy car or move to Cali with their new job, right? I think a lot of people don't understand how to handle money too, where when you get out of college, a lot of that money that you're putting, you know, that you're bringing in now from your job, you should probably be putting towards your college debt, you know, stuff that you don't need instead of buying all this crazy stuff.
Yeah,
that's one way to do it.
People think, like, oh, well, I'm out of college now. I'm making all this quote-unquote money, however, whatever the percent, or not percentage, whatever the amount is.
I mean,
just like, let's go buy a new car. I'm like, okay, you still have what?
Yeah.
70,000? Well, that'd be more like med school, 70,000, I want to say. But you still have thousands of dollars to pay.
You can still come out with, like, 50K. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. My dad came out with debt. Him and my mom both worked, and that's what they put their money towards for a while. And that was before they even got a house, you know, like.
Yeah.
I think you don't
need to buy a house once you're out of college.
Yeah, get an apartment. Go live with your parents if you're willing to for a couple years. Like, that's not even a bad idea. If it's kind of rent-free, you're just building up money. Don't stay there till you're 30. Don't do that. But still, you know what
even
I mean?
Even if you have to pay rent with your parents, if your parents are cool, they're not going to charge you $1,200 to stay in your old bedroom.
Exactly. I think people are making poor money decisions, and that's where we're getting a lot of people not being able to pay off their college debt. But I will say this to get to the main point of what we're trying to say. College is not necessary in this day and age. Everybody and their mother, because of what we're taught in high school, is you have to go to college, get to college, get to college, get these good paying jobs. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. And just like, you know, anything, when you look at an economic standpoint or supply and demand, when there's an over, like, arching amount of supply of something, right? It's like, okay, you get a bachelor's degree, you get a bachelor's degree, you get a bachelor's degree. I'm going to say it right now, bachelor's degrees these days really don't mean much, mm-hmm. right? A lot of people are going back to get their master's so they can get better paying jobs, and then obviously doctorates and whatnot to get the better, the super high up paying jobs. Everybody and their mother's going out to get a bachelor's degree. There's no need to do that anymore. What we don't have a lot of people doing is going out and getting trades, which, by the way, trade school is a lot cheaper than college, and it promotes 100% job placement.
Yeah, so for me, because I'm going into a trade, my school that I'm looking at, if I was not in the military, if I didn't have a GI Bill or the Montgomery, post 9/11, whatever, for 3 years, $2,200 plus for those 3 years, you're getting paid, and your salary is, I know there's some people watching this gonna be like, oh, well, that's low. You're making 46 grand a year, which is still, you're getting paid to go to school to learn how to do your job, working 7 o'clock in the morning to 3:30, and then 7 to 1 on Friday with 1 day of school, and you're making 46 grand with full benefits.
Right.
And that's just for mine doing electrician, but you got to look at it. Plumber apprenticeships pay more than what mine do. Welders pay a little bit more, but you still get all the benefits that you'd ever want. and you're learning a trade, that's not going to run out of a need for people. You're always going to be needed. There's no way that,
right.
I mean, I wouldn't say no way. Later on, probably in like 100 years or so, there's going to be a lot more robots doing our work.
Within our lifetime. Yeah. Within our lifetime, I'd argue. Yeah.
But linemen workers, you're going to be needed for that. If you want to think about it, once you make journeyman linemen, you're making about 80 grand a year, 90 grand a year.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, too, like, because everyone's going to college, there's not a lot of people going out and doing these trades, and the people that are still doing these trade jobs, your HVACs, you know, all this stuff like that, they're getting older, and there's not a lot of people coming in to fill their shoes, which means there's going to be more demand for the jobs, which means they're going to pay more. It's just how it works, you know?
There is a shortage, too, of tradesmen. Yeah. It's from a study that I read. There's a shortage, too. So they're wanting people to go into trades, but with everyone's parents and everything now being so easily influenced, they're just like, okay, well, you have to go to college.
Right.
Like, okay, so Becky over there, who has $50,000 in student debt, and then Ricky, who doesn't have any student debt, is making a shit ton of money. What is your liberal arts degree going to do for society? Jack and shit. It's not going to do nothing.
And college isn't something you have to necessarily do right out of high school either. I mean, you go to community college for like 2 years, either to next to nothing, you know, get you an associate's degree, go start working, maybe go back and get a four-year degree, you know, finish off your four-year degree. It's not a hard thing to do. Go to the military. I know Tristan and every other military people have an opinion, but it is a good paying, well, it's a good job.
It's stability, I'll tell you that.
There's a lot of career choices coming out of it, depending on what you go in to do.
Even if you wanted to, right after high school, if you want to take a break for a year, because I know a lot of people's parents, my parents rushed my sister into going to college. They rushed them. They don't really have an idea of what they want to do. My sister changed her major like 3 times.
Yeah, you see
take
that a lot.
Year. Yeah, take a year, figure out what you want to do. Don't let other people influence you.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have a plan, then go about it.
The reason I went to college was to play football. That didn't work. Now it took me, I was undecided. Now I finally know what I want to do. And yeah, like now I have to stay in college for my degree. But I still recognize that if I wouldn't have played football, probably wouldn't have gone to college, probably would have gone to trade school and started working. You know, I think I have to look up the average income of a bachelor's degree. Like, I don't know. Hold on. Let me look. Because I know it's not much. Let's see. So we'll look at what you make first year out of college.
Also, to anybody watching this, if you have, like, a following on TikTok and for some reason you think that's enough money that you're going to be making off of monetization to make a living,
yeah,
go to a fucking school. You're not going to make enough money off
So, like,
that.
How, Tristan, did you say that you're making $46,000 on an internship or an apprenticeship, I'm sorry?
First year. The electrician, if I do the sheet metal worker here,
yeah,
I make $64,000 first year.
So, recent college graduates in the U.S. earned an overall average starting salary of $50,944, according to the summer 2019 salary survey.
Yeah.
So, you're an apprenticeship, you're still learning, and it's your first year in this apprenticeship, almost making what your average degree will give you out of college.
Yep. And so you want to think, if you think about it, a normal apprenticeship is about 3 to 4 years. Mine's going to be about 3 years. I'll make $46,000 the first year, and it goes up, I want to say, about $6,000 to $8,000 every year up until the fourth year. Then you go into journeyman. If you are able to get into a union school right out, or get into a union school right off the rip and start your apprenticeship there. If you are a union journeyman lineman, you are going to be making $100,000 a year. Starting, and if you want to make the comparison, that'd be the first year of you actually working compared to someone else's first year of actually working after they went through college, because 4 years and 4 years, you'd be doubling their income.
It doesn't, yeah. I think we have a lot of problems, honestly, in today's society where we're like, oh, we need to go to college. No, you don't. Because let me explain to you. I'm in college. Your first 2 years, the majority of them, unless you've like clept out of them or there's special, you know, other reasons that you're not taking general education, you're essentially just going to be repeating high school before you even do your 2 years, your last 2 years usually to do your major, you know, to work on your major. Like that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? That's just wasting money and time. You're going to college at that point just to party.
Yeah, a lot of that's exactly what I was going to get into. A lot of people have the mindset that they want to go to college because they want to get into a fraternity. They want to get into a sorority. That's right. A lot of people's main idea is, like, freshman and sophomore year, they want to just go party, which is fine. I get it. You want to live the college life. That's cool. But the best way to get your future started for yourself and have your career in mind is to start early. Have your eye on the fucking prize. I was about to say something fucked up.
Well, you'd be 18 years old almost making the starting, again, salary that someone who's been in college for 4 years is making. And you would have almost no student. You wouldn't really have any debt. You'd just be taking up pure money at that point, unless you're paying for, like, a house or, you know, a car. But you get what I'm saying. No unnecessary payments are due, you know, but averagely, unless you do something stupid. But, yeah.
But back to the – I think we strayed really far away from the topic. I mean, we were on the topic, but the main idea.
I was using it as a bouncing. Like, I wanted to talk about for the longest time why college isn't a necessary thing, and this was like the perfect thing to say that, you know.
If you guys have questions about just college or what we think about it in trade school, just comment them down below. We'll be able to see them. We'll get back to you as well.
Yeah, but so I'm actually. Overall arching thing with this cancel student debt, I'm actually siding with Biden, which is surprising to probably a lot of people. I'm glad he took this stand of no, I'm not going to do that, because it does mean a lot. You know, it's because it's unnecessary. It's money, you know what I mean, that first of all, now you got to think about it. If you were to cancel your student debt, people aren't going to get paid. You know, a lot of people aren't going to make their money that they need to off those payments. And, I mean, where's this money going to come from that he's going to cancel it? You can't just say, okay, no, they're not going to make payments to you anymore. You know, like, it's done. There's no more payments. Like, that's not how this works.
But you cancel the student debt or how much you got to pay, how do you fund the school?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
How do you fund new books? How do you fund upkeep of campuses? Right.
The government can't just say to the banks, like, hey, these kids are no longer going to pay you anymore, and then that's that. Like, no, they're going to have to pay the banks or whoever you owe money to. They're going to have to pay that. You know, so now that's going to be money coming out of your pockets as taxpayers, which I'm not okay with whatsoever.
The thing that I find funny with this whole situation is coming up to the election, right? All over social media, all you saw was, oh, well, Biden's going to cancel student loans or debt. We're not going to pay anything. We're not going to owe anything. As soon as this comes out, we're like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like you said, maybe $10,000 or something like that. I have not been seeing an uproar like that ever since.
It's nice. It is kind of nice. So before we transition into what is going to take up the most time of this podcast, the back half, we're going to have to run, of course, our sponsors for today's episode, which is awesome. So we will catch y'all right after this ad. So math is racist. If you didn't know, now you know, straight up. You cannot be taught math. Well, let me explain. Focusing on the right answer, apparently, is a sign of white supremacy or promotes white supremacy somehow, some way, I guess.
Everything is racist in today's day and age. Just keep that in mind, kids.
Right. This kind of goes back to, well, this kind of feels racist. I guess it's racist. Like, this is exactly why we still have racist problems in America, is because for some reason every single thing has to be about race. Spoiler alert, it doesn't have to be. So, if we look at, let's go ahead and look at the article, really.
Yeah.
As Tristan pops a cold one.
Yes, sir. Just letting y'all know, we are not sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Just one of my friends put me on this. Pretty fire. Even though I'm pretty sure half of y'all aren't able to drink yet legally.
Great, Tristan.
It's a disclaimer, all right?
All right, so
I'm here for y'all.
We're going to go ahead and take a look at this article, which is from, it's My Northwest. I believe it's a local news station. It's conservative talk radio, actually. So let's go ahead and take a look at the...
Here we go.
So, Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, Bill Gates, they are funding, it says right here, the foundation is bankrolling Math is Racist Lunacy. Their foundation is helping these people pay bills, essentially, is what's going on here. All right. So it says a group of fringe educators have compiled a 6-part toolkit. We have that toolkit, by the way. We'll be looking at that too. Offering an integrated approach to developing an anti-racist math practice viewed through a social justice lens. It chides the concept of mathematics being purely objective as unequivocally false. What? So, the math is very objective-based. You're using an equation or formula to get to an answer to an objective. Apparently, it's false. It argues focusing on the right answer to math questions as an example of white supremacy. I swear to God, I'm losing brain cells every day. Every single day.
Kids, if you didn't know Y equals MX plus B equals racism, that's the answer. Just if it's not on there, just write. If it's not A, B, C, or D, just put E and write it in, because I can guarantee you that's what it is. If you get an A, then you owe me $20. If you get anything other, you can sue me.
Right. So, as we see here, the toolkit focuses on the 2021 progressive buzzword of equity, which is, something that has been flying around a lot recently. And like I said, yeah, claims white supremacy and mathematics go hand in hand. How, you might ask? That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked this question. Let's take a look. So, if we're taking a look at the racism, dismantling racism in mathematics instruction, see a pathway to equitable math instruction. We go in nice. It says exercises for educators to reflect on their own biases to transform their instructional practice. How is it racist to know if Timmy has 5 bananas and Lauren has 3? How many more bananas does Timmy have than Lauren? I'm so confused as to how that's racist.
It's because 3 of the bananas were black.
Nobody goes into math class thinking about the social justice concept, like the construct of this. Like, I go into math hating it. I don't want to do this. I'm not thinking about how racist it is.
They teach about racism when that comes over to slavery in history class. That's where they literally teach about it. I don't get why people want to bring racism into other, I should say, equations.
Yeah. Notice how everybody on this book is black. I love the diversity so far in this book. It's awesome.
The pages are white. It's fun.
Deconstructing racism in mathematics instruction. All right, let's go to page 6.
Get ready for our math lesson, boys.
Here we go. White supremacy culture infiltrates math classrooms in everyday teacher actions. Coupled with the beliefs that underlie these actions, they perpetrate educational harm to black, Latinx, and multilingual students.
Yeah.
Well, can't white people be multilingual? Isn't a French guy white? What happens if they speak French?
Or Italian?
And English? Yeah.
Russian?
Or Spanish? German? Yeah. What? Well, people from Spain. Spanish? Okay. Denying them full access to the world of mathematics. The table below identifies the ways in which white supremacy shows up in the math classroom. Oh, God. Okay. Whatever.
Ready to get real pissed off.
Engaging and supporting all students in learning. The focus is getting the right answer. You are correct. That is the point of math, is to find, with some tools or an equation, to find the correct answer to solve the problem. This isn't a racist thing.
And math can only have one answer as well. A math problem.
No. No. What are you talking about?
When you're given a math problem in school, right, such as on a test or whatnot, you have to come to one answer.
Okay, yeah, but the answer could be multiple numbers. There could be different things you can plug in. Anyway, okay, this is like, I'm talking like Algebra 2 and Calculus, Tristan. I know you didn't, did you do calculus?
I didn't go through that shit.
Yeah, obviously. You took the E2A out.
I got C's and then signed the dotted line, boys.
So the concept of mathematics being purely objective is unequivocally false. How? I would love to have a discussion with these people and see how is it false. And teaching it is even much less so. Literally, the goal of math is to solve a problem with the right answer, which you have to find to either prove a formula is correct or non-correct or to graph. There is literally a right answer. There is literally an objective to every math problem. Okay. upholding the idea that they are always right and wrong. There are always right and wrong answers perpetuate objectivity as well as fear of open conflict. No, it doesn't. So, okay, so I'm already getting where this is coming from. It is saying that this idea that there are right and wrong answers is somehow going to translate into the world that you live in, that there's always right and wrong answers to questions, which we know is not true, because if you were to go to, I don't know, let's say you have math class during third period of high school, go to fourth period, go to English class, you'll instantly learn that there are different ways to get something done, and morals have an effect on whether or not you think it's the right answer or not. Here we go. Instead of teaching that there are just there's one right or wrong answer in a math class or in a math problem, you could do a verbal choose problems that have complex competing or multiple answers. You could do a verbal example. Come up with at least two answers that might solve this problem. Why?
Dude, I'm telling you, 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't equal 4 and 12. Like,
yeah, like this doesn't make sense.
It's like, I know this is a very far-fetched, like, stretch to think about, but in my mind, it's like almost like they're thinking, we need to change math. That way, 4 can equal fucking 6, too.
There's already no one likes to sit there and do long division on the paper, because it takes a lot of time.
I don't even remember how to do that.
Now you're going to tell me that I got to sit there and do even more work to figure out the other right answer versus just saying, hey, what's 2 plus X that equals 4? 4.
2.
2. Sorry. Sorry. I'm tired. It's been a long day. So it comes up, no, little Timmy. What is the other answer? It's like, nah, it's just 2. 2 + 2 = 4. Look, I did it on my fingers. 2, 2, 4.
2 + 2 = 5, dog.
Yeah.
It's just...
It says, challenge standardized test questions by getting the right answer, but justify... I love how they put right in all the quotation. The quotation, like, well...
Quote, unquote, right.
It might be right. I don't know.
Like, that's every time you went to school and you went to go show your math teacher a question. Does 6 × 2 = 12? I don't know. Does it?
It could be. It's right.
I don't know. Motherfucker. I'm fucking 14. Tell me.
You didn't know 6 × 2 was 12 when you were 14? Sad.
I was on short bus, dog.
All right. But justify other answers by unpacking the assumptions that are made in the problem. There are no assumptions in 6 × 2 = 12. There's no assumptions that the slope equals, or no, that a line on a graph, the formula for that, the equation is y equals mx plus b. There's no assumptions, there's no other assumptions that the m is slope in that equation. Tristan, that's which way the line goes and how you space out the different points on the line if you didn't know that.
We're going to ignore the fact you insulted me, but but I was thinking in my mind, I'm just like hearing this whole thing to me literally sounds like they're insulting black people.
Dude, it is. It's, hey, these minority people can't find the right answer, so let's just
make it easy. Need to make it two answers or something. Like, I don't know. It's just,
where do people come up with these?
It's just like, you're basically insulting the intelligence of African Americans, that or minorities in general. That's what you're doing.
Literally, where do people come up with these? I genuinely would like to know where you come up with these answers. It doesn't make sense. Like, where is it one day your head just pops off the pillow? It's like, yeah, no, math's racist. What? No, wait a second. All right, so that was that part. Let's see. Oh, how do I get back? Oh, no. I locked myself out. I'm stuck. Oh, it's page 65. Jesus Christ. Why is there 65 pages of this pain? And now it won't let me scroll up. But this doesn't.
Sound like a hamlang sangdi.
It's 65 pages, and I think it's frozen because there's more pages. Tristan, bro.
Zach's processor can't process the stupidity it's trying to read on its own screen.
Who wakes up genuinely asking? Somebody in the comments, tell me, if you're watching this on YouTube. Who wakes up in the morning and the first thing you think of is we need to redo the entire concept of math from top to bottom because somehow it's racist? Well, how is it racist? Because it only focuses on you getting the right answer. That's the point of math! That's literally the point of math. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It just doesn't make sense, man. It just don't. Like, what is the point, Tristan? Help me understand this before I have an aneurysm.
Everyone, mitochondria being the powerhouse of the cell is also racist.
No, like, at this point, what is the point? At this point, what is the point? Because we have all this, we have this other stuff too, right? So I have these other overlays. Luckily, I can save the day. So here we go. The Seattle school leads controversial push to rehumanize math. What do you mean rehumanize?
When was it ever dehumanized? Like,
here we go. The Seattle school district is planning to infuse all K through 12 math classes with ethnic studies questions and encourage students to explore how math has been appropriated by Western culture and used in systems of power and oppression. A controversial move that puts the district at the forefront of the movement to rehumanize math. What do you have to rehumanize?
Honestly, because honestly, just putting this out there for all the people listening right now, like, if you honestly believe that math is racist and you have a credible point to make, let us know. We will have you on this podcast.
If you don't,
and we can discuss
and
it.
If you don't, and you just and you're just saying math is racist, go touch grass, kid. You haven't been outside in about 4 years.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my goodness.
But seriously, if you are watching this, even though I highly doubt any people with common sense or without common sense are watching this, let us know, because we will gladly have you on an episode and we can discuss it, because this is ridiculous. Like, there is no way that you have a credible reason to believe math is fucking racist.
Blows my mind. My freaking head hurts.
It's just because for some reason everyone thinks everything has to be offensive.
Word. It just, no, like, like, what do you mean hold on, let me bring it back up because I got to make sure I'm reading this right. Okay. That is planning to infuse all K through 12 math classes with ethnic studies questions. Great. Because the first thing I want to do when I sit my grumpy self down in my math class chair, because I already don't want to be there, the first thing I want to think about is not only am I learning about how to graph a line, but now I got to realize, I got to find out and listen to this ethnic studies history lesson on why is math racist? Or how did Western culture screw up math? You can't screw up numbers. They're the most pure thing out there. It's they're numbers. They don't change. Three here means three in Saudi Arabia. Three in England means three in Tokyo. It's the same thing. They don't change. They don't have a language. It is incredibly hard to appropriate numbers because you can't.
It's because, dude, they're stretching. They're just reaching for everything. Number two is not oppressed. Like,
it's a number. It doesn't make sense. Okay, so I have the page
back
up.
Next thing you know, people are going to be mad that numbers are normally written in a certain color.
The numbers, Mason, what do they mean? All right, moving on, because I got the freaking thing to work back up. Let's just... Okay. That's just... Oh, wait. The only way to undo racism is to consistently identify and describe it and then dismantle it.
Please, someone describe how numbers are fucking racist.
That's not the way to get rid of racism.
Oh, my God.
No. When you keep identifying and describing it, you're not dismantling. You can't dismantle it. You're just then building up this more thing of everything's racist, and you constantly have more problems and more problems and more problems. And look, I'm not saying to ignore actual racism. Don't do that. But don't start saying everything's racism and creating these non-existent problems, right, that aren't a real thing, because they're not a real thing. The more you talk about it, the more it happens. Who is the dude? What's his name? Morgan? What's his name?
Oh, man. Wallen?
No. He played...
Morgan Freeman?
Yes, thank you. Almost knocked my computer off. Thank you. Morgan Freeman said the best way to stop having, you know, stop experiencing racism, and maybe we stop talking about it. Like, this is the prime example. This is what he means. Stop doing this.
It's like, I can't even, like, think of something right now, because this is baffling me that people actually agree with this. There's people that actually make videos and people that talk about it online that are in full support of this. And you want to know the people, the color of their skin that are normally talking about it? White people.
Design, hold on, what is it? Center ethnomathematics. What is ethnomathematics? I swear to God, if I have to send my kid to high school, right, and he has to take pre-calculus and then ethnomathematics.
Dude, okay. Ethnomathematics is literally just ethnic math. If that's what it is, I'm done.
Jesus Christ.
I'm no, fucking
here
done.
Here we go. What is ethnomathematics, you might ask? Well, I'm so glad I could answer. Actually, I lied. I hate everything about this. I want to shoot myself. Not actually. That's a joke. Don't take it so hard. Okay. Recognize the ways that communities of color engage in mathematics and problem solving in their everyday lives.
Why? I'm gonna go commit seppuku.
Why? Like, give me a legitimate reason as to why. Never once in a math problem did I solve all the way up to the I'm in quantitative reasoning, by the way, right now, which is kind of like a more common sense, logical approach to math, which is nice because I don't have to take any more hard math classes. Anyway, a super easy class. Never once in the problem, in any of these problems that I've taken in all my career as a math student, did it ever say, white boy Timmy is counting up all... is counting up all of his apples that him and his white family have as they're going to go trade with their white neighbor. No, it just says, hey, Timmy has 5 apples. Lauren has 6. What's the difference? How many more apples does Lauren have than Timmy? It was never like, Timmy has apples because he's white. It was just, Timmy has apples.
Now watch someone come into the comments and be like, well, the problem here is that Timmy and Lauren are both white people names. Watch someone say some shit like that.
They're just basic names. Congratulations, you live in a majority white country. That's what's going to happen with the names. It's not a hard thing to see. Teach that mathematics can help solve problems affecting students' communities. Model the use of math as a solution to their immediate problems, needs, or desires. I semi-agree with that one. But I also don't, because as you progress up into higher math, I'm not going to use calculus to like help with my grocery list. It's not where we are already taught. We are taught in elementary school in the most basic like areas of mathematics. We are taught that this is going to be used to help you in your everyday life, hence the apple example. It's not hard. Or the example of, hey, you have to bake a cake that serves 3 people. One cake that you bake serves 3 people, but you have 15 people coming over. How many cakes do you have to bake? That's a basic everyday problem. That's what that's used for. We're already taught that. You don't need to spin it around to Jaquan has to make, I don't know, X amount of deliveries like to all of his other black neighbors because nobody cares. It's just, hey, so-and-so has to do this with this. Like,
it's math. It's math. Math doesn't have a race.
It's numbers. It's the most purest thing in the world. Identify and challenge the ways that math is used to uphold capitalism. Oh, there it is. There's the Marxism. I knew it was in there somewhere. Identify and challenge the capitalist imperialist. Let me explain something to you, Shally. Allow me to. Maybe you're focusing too much on math and you haven't taken history in a while. We're not an imperialist nation anymore. We haven't been for a minute. Couple years. Golly. Racist. Where's the race? You know what? I kind of want to make this joke, but I'm scared.
Make it. Fuck it.
Some boy down in like the middle of nowhere, Mississippi, shout out all my Mississippi people. It's like, I... Cletus, there's about 6 of us white folks and 2 of them non-white folks. What? Solve that for me. How many more of us is there of them? Well, Bubba, I think it's about 4. No one does that. There's no math problems that are like that. It's just...
it's math. Next thing you know, people are going to start making complaints to school because they think math teachers are racist. Next thing you know, math ain't getting taught in high school no more.
Teach the value of math as both an abstract concept and a useful tool every day. You mean like we already do? We do that. It happens. There are professions that literally center around math. Expose students to the example of people who have used math as resistance. Provide learning opportunities that use math as resistance.
If there are 5 Black Lives Matter protesters being zip-tied to the ground by capitalist pigs, how many others are going to be needed to cut them free?
Shut up.
If there are 5 non-identifying, non-binary, pansexual, transgender...
Apache helicopters
in one bathroom with only 3 urinals, how many can use the urinals? Trick question, not all of them have penises. Stop being a bigot.
What? For a viva la math resistance, like, that makes no sense.
Characteristics. Continued characteristics of anti-racist math educators. By the way, look. If your teacher starts to implement this, right, I'll be honest with you, change your class immediately. Get out of there. Run. Don't fail the class. Just try and change classes for your own health.
Yeah, go see your student counselor.
If they ask you who did that, tell them me, and that we'll have them on the podcast.
Yeah. And they can get made fun of, too.
Characteristics of anti-racist math educators. Make rigor accessible through strong and thoughtful scaffolding. What? Okay. Teach rich, thoughtful, complex mathematics. So we're teaching math. Nice to know.
That's what you're supposed to do as you progress in grades.
This is literally how to be a teacher. Use mistakes as opportunities for learning. You don't need to put anti-racist math educator. You could just put characteristics of a math educator. There's nothing in here that doesn't already happen.
Understand? Oh my gee.
What was it? Use mistakes as an opportunity for learning. Welcome to literally every teacher and coach ever, and parents.
That's what we call staying after class.
This is called basic. This is what you learn in teacher class, teacher
this
school,
is getting extra whatever that help. Is.
The school of education. If you're trying to be a teacher, prepare students of color to close gap in access to STEM fields. Let me actually say that STEM is not a great. I would much prefer my kid to go into a trade school than to the STEM field because there's not a lot of jobs in STEMs. STEM was this hyped up thing. It's really not whatever. Teach students of color about the career and financial opportunities in math and STEM fields. Cool. Teach everybody that. And whether or not they actually want to go in there or not, that's up to them. You can't force them. Wait a second. Encourage them to disrupt the disproportionate push out of people of color in those fields. Yeah, because all of us... There it is. All of us white people got in the huddle secretly with no one that wasn't white allowed, and we said, yeah, see? We're not going to let these people of color come in, see? It's going to be a white field, see? No, no one said that.
This isn't 1940s Nazi Germany, okay? Like...
Invite leaders and innovators of color working in STEAM. What is STEAM? Is A agricultural? Did they add, or is that a typo?
I think it might be a typo. Here's the thing. So, like, this last one that we're looking at, invite leaders and innovators of color working in STEAM fields to meet your students. That's like, I do not know any place within this country, once a leader who is a person of color or something come in, they're like, get out.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's just and... They just added the A for and. You don't do that. You don't do that in acronyms. Maybe focus mornings. And what were you saying? I'm sorry to cut you off.
I was saying it's just like they say, invite leaders and innovators of color working in STEM fields to complete or to meet their students.
Wait a second. Hold on. Wait. Support students to reclaim their mathematical ancestry. What? What do you mean? What does that mean? I'm so confused. I hope everyone agrees that this is stupid. I think we can all come to the conclusion that this is ridiculous.
Like, honestly, I'm going to say this now, and if it offends you, I'm talking about you. If you support this, you're part of the problem. Like, I'm just saying that now. If you're just like, yep, math is racist, dude, go do a history lesson. Go back to math.
Intentionally include mathematicians of color. Never once in any of my math classes. Excuse me, I drank too much water. Was I ever taught about, like, the history life or the life of a mathematician? It was, hey, no, this is what we're going to be doing. It was created back then, if we even did that. It was like, yeah, no, it was founded back whenever by this guy. He lived here. That's it. It's not like white people are the best or black people are the best. No, it's just like, hey, no, this is it. If you want to figure out the history of math, there's usually classes for that, you know, when you get into college, or there's books to read. No one actually teaches. You're including curriculum in an already, like, I'd argue that majority of high schools don't get through their full curriculum for a year anyway. You're just adding stuff. Expose students to mathematicians of color, particularly women of color and queer mathematicians of
Queer was written, so don't come at him for saying that, okay?
Both through historical examples and by inviting community guest speakers. Yes, make the teachers go out of their way to invite a mathematician to come.
Wait, no. I'm confused. So this whole article is about racism amongst math, right?
Yeah.
Why'd they have to bring gay people into it? If I'm reading it correctly from what I know queer means.
Right.
Queer means gay, someone of the LGBTQ+ community. Like,
well, no, specific, it says particularly you want to know about women of color and queer mathematicians of color. So you want to know about gay colored people and female colored people.
Oh, okay.
Not even so, just, they're kind of just crapping on the men right here, too.
So just fuck the other gay people. They got to be colored.
Yeah. On top of that, teach, this is like, okay, this, let me explain something. Let me read this statement and then let me flip it. The logic. You ready for this one?
Yep.
Teach students of color about their mathematical legacy and ancestral connection in the mastery of math. Teach white people about their mathematical legacy and their ancestral connection and mastery of math. Which one sounds bad? Or which one would be deemed bad? No, I mean, that's not that hard of a question. But, dude, what do white. You mean?
Like,
nobody goes into math class about wondering, no, hey, wonder where this came from. If they did, they'd be a history student and they'd go focus on the history of math. Nobody does that. They go into math most of the time just, oh, I don't want to be here. And they go in and they learn how to long divide, how to do calculus, how to find the slope, how to solve improper fractions.
All they're doing is just adding more curriculum to high school math. They're adding literally black history that goes along with mathematics into math. 97% of people in math class don't want to fucking be there anyways. They do not give a shit no matter what your reason is.
Give rightful credit to the discovery of math concepts by mathematicians of color. Oh boy. Reclaim concepts attributed to the white mathematicians that should be attributed to mathematicians of color. Sorry, Einstein.
Yeah, sorry, Einstein. Apparently your legacy doesn't mean shit. Get fucked.
Hey, Copernicus. Get out.
Oh my goodness. Oh my god, dude. This critical is practice. Ridiculous.
It hurts my head. It makes me mad. Each month you will complete. Now we're talking about shifting towards anti-racist math education. It's critical. It says critical praxis, people. It's critical. This is teaching student or teachers how you should change it. These exercises are designed as a year-long process of reflection and planning in order to identify the ways in which your practice may perpetuate white supremacy culture and create a plan for dismantling it using anti-racist approaches. Shut up, okay?
Just prepare to pay math reparations as well. I feel like as soon as this comes into play in high school math, because, you know, obviously, minorities are the minority for a reason. Predominantly, the class is going to be white. As soon as some teacher mentions this, the class is just going to go. She's talking about you.
Yeah. You imagine being at, like, the school. First of all, if you don't know how the social construct or, you know, the social hierarchy of high school works, people are going to get bullied. Can you imagine how awkward it's going to be for, like, at a predominantly white high school for like the, you know, maybe let's say like one or two black kids sitting in that math classroom, like all the white kids are gonna look at him like, bro, like, why? You know what I mean? It's not right, but it's what's gonna happen.
The whole class is gonna get on one knee, put their fist in there, and be like, go. Yes.
I see you.
I feel your pain. Motherfuckers gonna be like, dude, this is algebra one. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Engage with the ways that white supremacy culture shows up in math classrooms. How? Like, literally how? Reflect on your current classroom practices to identify the ways in which they perpetuate white supremacy culture. Side tangent. When you keep calling people white supremacists, racists, whatever, fascist, bigots, you're not helping anybody. You're not creating a safer space. You're not going to call somebody and say, you're a white supremacist. And they'll be like, yeah, you know what? You're right. Maybe I should change that. No, it's going to create a wall that's going to be built. And honestly, all it's going to do is build up it's going to develop actual white supremacists and racists. It's not going to take them away. It's just going to make more of them.
The thing with this going on within school as well is just, you're going to be sitting there talking about how math is racist, if that's the route that teachers actually go, then all of a sudden, black people are just going to look at white people and be like,
yeah,
you're racist. Yeah. Because I'm not saying that in just a super vague way. What I'm getting at is that today's like portion of people in school, like high school specifically, they are super easily influenced, including the fact that they are raised by woke parents.
Jeez.
It doesn't make it any better. Like, hell, they could hear that in high school, go home and tell their parents, my math teacher told me that white people are racist in my math class. They're gonna be like, I guess so. She's got the teaching license there, bud. Right. Go get them.
That doesn't make sense. All right. Plan to dismantle white supremacy culture by creating a goal that incorporates specific anti-racist practices. I love how they're throwing it around, this white supremacy culture in math or the racism in math, without actually like identifying what is
actually racist.
Yeah, racist and is white supremacy culture, or, you know, what is white supremacist, I guess, about
supremacist.
Yeah, about math. Act with accountability by carrying out the plan. And reflect on ways in which your practices align with anti-racist math education. Oh, great. You're going to have the most egotistical math teachers ever. So, yeah, you know what? I did teach anti-racism today. I'm a good person. Let me go eat another cookie while I watch my cankles expand.
They're going to go to every Black Lives Matter riot or Black Lives Matter protest within every 4 years and be like, I taught anti-racism in math.
Go I wanna see,
you.
I want to see, oh man, calendar. They have calendar. Dude, it's not even a cool acronym.
Einstein's IRPA-R. Einstein's punching the air right now.
He's rolling in his grave.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm not reading this whole thing. If you guys want to read it,
We'll put it in the description.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description. Go to equitablemath.org.
Although I'll be surprised if anyone wants to read all of it.
Yeah, it really hurts my head, man. It really, truly does. And it hurts my heart. Well, it doesn't hurt. It does hurt my heart because it's stupid. It's a thing that shouldn't exist. But again,
you're causing a bigger divide. That's how I see it. That's all you're doing.
You're making things racist and political that don't need to be racist and political. And it's the same deal with Texas right now. Like, Texas is getting hammered, and there's a lot of people that are freezing and a lot of people that are losing power and that are suffering. But for some reason, it's being made political. Things don't always need to be political.
Like, oh, well, if they didn't vote red. Like, dude, you got babies and teenagers that are freezing. More than, I think it is more than half of the state is out of power. But that also might have been a graph or also a study based on the big cities. But it has nothing to do with politics. You're literally focusing, you're changing it to politics to try and make it seem like Republicans are bad and it's that not, they caused it.
Yeah, it's not something that, like, again, there's something that you don't need to do. And it goes both ways, like the Texas incident. I'm seeing Republicans yelling at Democrats and Democrats yelling at Republicans, what's new? But it's like for something like that, that's unnecessary. Or something like this math thing that is extremely unnecessary. It's stupid. You don't need to make it political. I have never once seen white supremacy. You can say, it's because you're white. You never experienced it. I will. You want me to call my friends from back home? We'll see. Like, how many people actually thought math was racist? No one did. Most people were like, I don't want to be here. Which I'd argue a lot of people would think that way.
Most people.
Most sensible people.
I'd skip class, just math class, a lot, because you know why? Math sucks.
Math is horrible, and it's not because it's racist.
And it's not because it's racist. I'm an Asian American. I didn't walk in there and be like, white supremacy, fuck.
Should be easier for you. What do you mean? Or it should be 50% easier.
Yeah, it was supposed to be 50% easier. It was supposed to be 50% easier, but I think the white in me overcame it, and now I don't even know how to do long division.
You shouldn't need a calculator that whole time.
That sucks because me going into electrician, I have to take an aptitude test, which is like, yeah, it's basic algebra. And right. I was taking the test, like the pre-test, just as a test. I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Why are you not doctor?
Why are you not doctor? I'm just like,
I don't know, brother.
Couldn't tell you, chief.
Just a white in me. It's steeping into my soul.
Give me a couple weeks, we'll figure it out.
Does anybody have teriyaki chicken?
Made with Siamese kitty.
There's the Asian side right there.
Oh, yeah, there.
As you folks can see, bro. As you folks can see, bro. It was like Southern and douchey at the same time. Y'all can see, it's not a good thing to have to push political correctness that hard. Like, I'm anti-PC 100%.
PC culture sucks.
I think,
dude,
political correctness has no place within our society, to be honest with you. And when you're pushing it like this, no. Like, don't. Stop. No, stop. Don't. Period. And then stop. Don't. You get what I'm saying? Okay, cool. Sorry. Having an aneurysm from reading absolute garbage for like 20 minutes.
That's stuff that makes no sense.
So, yeah. We appreciate y'all. This episode was a little bit shorter than what we normally do. It's fine. If y'all are on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Hit the notification bell. If you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any other thing that it's on, if you look it up, make sure you, I guess, follow it if you can. Subscribe to it if you can. Leave us a review, a thumbs up. Tell us what you think in the comments. Let us know what we missed. If we want to talk about something more, you know, do it, I guess. We have some pretty cool stuff coming down the pipeline for y'all. We're going to get into our normal uploading schedule for now, which is Tuesday, Thursdays, until maybe something happens and we'll start uploading more, right?
And Thursdays is most likely going to be the day. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
When we bring on a guest or something to talk about a certain situation going on in the world, or mainly our country, something like this. But we're getting a little list together. We're going to see who we want to bring on. And we're hoping that you guys like what comes next.
Yeah. We appreciate y'all, man. Keep running it up. We'll catch y'all in the next one. This has been Fatty. That's Red Boy, unfortunately.
The face.
Shut up. We'll see y'all in the next one. Deuces, man.